Hello, everybody. I just messed up the music. That was me. Something I'm going to mess up. I'm always going to mess up something. How's everybody doing tonight? Episode 287 of the Keep Moving Forward podcast. I am your host, Anthony DiDomenico, coming to you live every Monday night, live on Facebook. As always, the podcast is available at anchor.fm/KMF podcast. If you like the video feature and you want to check it out again, please go to Spotify. We have the full video of the podcast up there. Always go to iTunes and 5-star rate and review. I love reading reviews. I love sharing on social media and bragging about the best podcast listeners out there. That is you guys. Patreon.com for all the bonus episodes. Check it out. Patreon.com/KMF podcast. Built Bar is dropping new flavors like crazy. They're all marshmallow. You like marshmallow? You're a marshmallow fan? Well, here you go. They even got creamsicle flavors. So it's like orange and lime and lemon wrapped in a marshmallow. So if you're a marshmallow fan, this is the time to buy Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use code WWBROPODCAST. Sail Away Coffee is the best nitro brew out there. Perfect in the summer. Put it over ice. Enjoy yourself. SailAwayCoffee.com. Use code WWBRO10. You will save 10% off your order. My buddy John Ziegler, I was just with him at Mulcahy's on Wednesday night. He's got his comedy special out. It's called John Ziegler, Getting My Affairs in Order. Get the special on YouTube. It's free. You could also follow him on Instagram over at John Ziegler Comedy. Click the link in his bio. Watch the special. Please let him know what you think about it because it really is that good. Also promoting my good friend Lori Palminteri. She'll be promoting her half-hour special slash album September 9th at Kevin Smith's Smod Castle in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. Go to smodcastlecinemas.com for tickets and go give Lori a follow at Go See Lori. Speaking of Smod Castle, I think that's a perfect way to segue into our guest tonight, my best friend Nick Greystone. Follow him on Instagram, NZA6. He is the lead singer slash bassist of the band Demon Scar and a Smod Castle regular. Nick, what's going on?
What up? How are you?
I don't get what up. Everybody else does. I don't get it.
Oh, you want me to do my
line? Yeah, come on. It's your gimmick. Come on, man. Got the Pesci's on.
What's going on, everyone? I was going to do something different for your thing.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought since you got the Pesci's on and everything and, you know.
Pesci's on and I figured, ain't nobody gonna leave this place until we start singing the blue.
And that harmonica is funny for another reason too.
Don't ever let another man blow your harmonica.
That was a crazy night.
Yeah, you almost beat up an 85-year-old man.
He wasn't 85 yet. Stop it now.
What was he? 84?
So you know what's funny? I actually thought about this tonight for some reason.
Yeah.
I forget why I was watching something and I forget what he said to me, but like how I was acting and that I was just, I heard it in a movie I was watching and I thought about that scene, but like, you know, so what happened was I was at we're at our friend Jason's house. It was right when the Yankees had signed Jason Giambi. So like being the Yankee fan that I am, I went right out. And I got myself a Jason Giambi Yankee t-shirt. Probably the first time I wore it, it was like nice and crisp. And it just, I felt good in it. It was Jason Giambi. It was New York Yankee. The Yankees is coming off of, they lost the World Series, but we got Giambi. We were excited. It's also the same season that the Mets signed Mo Vaughn. And we're at this party for my friend Jason. And his neighbor was like, Giambi? More like Mo Vaughn. Okay. It was funny the first time. Nick, how many times did he say it?
I'm going to say probably at least 4 or 5.
Okay. And I gave him that.
That's 20 minutes. So, like, you know.
it was like one after the other, and I gave him that amount of time. So if anybody knows me, you know that sometimes I might snap back a little bit. Sometimes I take the low road, so to speak. And he was playing his harmonica, and I said something like, "Oh, I forgot my harmonica. I lost it." And he's like, "What do you mean? How did you lose it?" I'm like, "Well, I gave it to this guy, and he, I don't know what he did with it." And he's like, "What are you, Weisenheimer?" He goes, "A man never gives his harmonica to somebody else." I'm like, "God damn it, Jason, why'd you lose my harmonica?" And he goes, "You're a real smart ass, Mo Vaughn." And that's when I lost it. And I said, "It's about the 17th time you said it tonight. It wasn't funny the first time you said it. It's not funny now. Why don't you just go away?" And he got loud. Nick got in the middle and just told him, "Just walk over there. Just, you know, leave, let him be. We get it. Move on." And that was it for the night, though. It was all right the rest of the night.
Yeah, no, you were right, man. I mean, he did take it for a long time, and he just got a little bit wise and kept on getting wise and going to the well too many times and, you know, said stupid shit, and that was stupid, so.
Like my brother tells his kids, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. But speaking of my brother and his kids, I just want to give a shout out to my nephew Lucas and the Merrick Belmore 10U Little League Baseball team. They won their first game today in the state championship tournament. So
uptown
in Bingham, yeah. So my nephew Rocco is the funniest kid in the world without even trying to be funny. This kid just says the funniest things. So I go there on Saturday and he's like, "Uncle Cheese, we're going to Big Uptown." I go, "What? Big Uptown? It's where Lucas is playing, Big Uptown." I go, "Binghamton?" He's like, "Yeah, Big Uptown." He calls Binghamton Big Uptown. So that's the new thing now.
It's the new thing. It's where everyone's hanging, all the cool kids.
Right? Let's go to Big Uptown.
Dude, Big Uptown is where it's at, man.
So Lukey did well today. He had a couple of nice catches in the outfield, a couple of nice plays. He had a hit.
Congratulations, kiddo. That's awesome.
And he drove another ball into center field, but they caught it. So yeah, but overall had a good game. The team played well. And just keep playing, keep winning. Bring it home.
Hell yeah.
So we're joined today, like I said, by my friend Nick, who recently came into a little bit of internet fame. So we'll kind of backtrack it a little bit. If you're watching live, you kind of recognize him a little bit with the Joe Pesci's on, but
I'm not wearing a chainsaw hat tonight.
No, I get it.
You know what it is? I didn't want to switch it up, and I know it is kind of still fresh, and that's like where people recognize me from. Actually, you're the one that broke the news to me, that sent me on this,
yes,
this stage of infamy that I'm standing on right now.
Yeah. So what happened? So it was last Monday.
No, it was Friday.
It was Friday. No,
past Friday, the one before it.
One before that. Okay. So
yeah,
I'm driving into work, and I listen to sports talk radio, and they're talking about it, and I'm like, wow, Nick has to know about this then. So when I got it to work, I saw on Facebook somebody posted the address. That's why I sent it to you. And I was like, "New stop on the tour." And you're like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "Gilgo Beach Killer. They caught him. He lives in Massapequa." And you were like, "Oh, I'm supposed to work to 3, but I'm going to get it at 1. And like a half an hour later, I got a text message en route. And you had that hat on. You had the Texas Chainsaw Massacre hat on because it's just, you know, typical day. And
not on purpose.
Not on purpose, which was people, you know, which is even better. You know, I said to you too, like when you showed me the video clip, I'm like, "Oh, in perfect hat." And then the meme came out and it went around the internet like wildfire. What was that like?
It's unbelievable. I mean, like hearing from people that I haven't talked to in high school in a long time, and everyone appears now, Ghost Girls, ex-girlfriends, just family, like just so many people that I don't talk to on the regular. And, you know, it was cool, man. I mean, like, it's still cool. I love it. I don't, you know, it's, unbelievable because I never thought that this was going to ever happen. I thought this case was going to go unsolved.
Yeah. And
it's just brought that, you've known me for so long that, like, you know, I've been following true crime and all that stuff since, you know, I'm 10 years old. Before that, you know, my parents, I used to go to crime scenes with my mom and my dad all the time when something broke, you know, my father yelling in the car, like, why do we got to go there for? And like, you know, just Amityville Horror, Amy Fisher, Joey Buttafuoco, all that stuff, Joel Rifkin, you know, me and my mom went out to Cali when the OJ stuff was going on, ate at the Mezzaluna. It's just something that's, I don't know. It's the curiosity and just wanting to be in the place that some horrible shit went down, you know?
Well, so, I get it in a way, because especially like Gilgo was, it was such a prevalent case on Long Island. You know, everybody's been to that beach. Everyone's been down that road. Everyone's been down, you know, and I think especially when you find out that, especially for us, we grew up 10 minutes from where this guy lived. I hang out 3 minutes. Literally, I Google mapped it. It's literally across the train station to the right, 3 minutes away from this guy's house. Like, you know, and
it's in our backyard, dude.
It's in our backyard. And it's, you know, but even I think with regular stuff, you know, because it's I think the realness of it makes it surreal in a way. Like, it's like, oh my God, people like this actually exist. It's crazy. And to just, when you, I think you go to a place, like when you said you go into the restaurant and you go to these places, you, it's almost, I think that fascinating. You never know who you're sitting next to. You never know who you're with.
It's true.
You know, cause I mean, this guy lived in Long Island. We could have been next to this guy a million times. We had no idea.
Yeah,
you know?
No. And like I said, this true crime thing with me, you went to high school with me, you know what type of student I was. I literally squeaked by. I didn't put effort in. Not that I'm dumb. I feel like if I put my head to anything that interests me, I'm gonna, you know, excel in it. And for some reason, the true crime thing, like, in, you know, I remember in 12th grade, I took criminology as part of my elective. The first day, it was Abramson, who knew my mother. He went to high school with my mother. He went to high school with my Uncle Sal. And he knew my, you know, knew my family. And he said the first day that the top 10 students in his class were going to have a field trip to go to Nassau County. First and second semester, I got a 98 and a 99. That's never happened to me in classes. But it's just something that I, you know, wanted to listen to. I was intrigued by it. Not so much the brutality of the crimes. It was the backstory, how it happened, why it happened. Like, how did this person go from, you know, being born and then one day decide, all right, well, today's the day I'm going to kill some motherfuckers, yeah, and then do his thing, you know, and like how he got caught and, you know, and just like his, the rest of the story. So it was just, that's how I've, you know, always been fascinated by that backstory. And that's why this, when you told me about it, 1 o'clock couldn't come any sooner. So I was like, I got to get out of here. I got to get on scene because I know it's going to be a crazy scene. And when I got there, I was right in the media pit. You know, News 12 was there, Channel 7, Channel 4, Channel 11. I got interviewed by them all because I was just there and, you know, in the moment, taking pictures, taking videos of them. Kristen Thorne from Channel 7, who right now I'm exchanging emails with because we're going to be possibly working on something in the future, because there's another case that was in Long Island that's kind of not connected to me, but I work in the same building as this, as Robert Shulman, who was a serial killer back in the day. And part of that case is still unsolved. There is an unidentified body. And through the years, I just, asking people, working with co-workers that worked with him, you know, and I told her, you know, the information that I do have about the case, and she just seems very interested in it. But obviously, we're in the middle of something that, just to take a step back, I went to a thing at the Smithtown Library. It was the attorney of Shannon Gilbert. She's the one that went missing that started this. They started looking for her. Then they found the first Gilgo Four. Then they found the other bodies. But the attorney that represents her said that this case is like a modern day Jack the Ripper. And it's the truth. It's unsolved. It went cold for so long. There's so many red flags. You know, personally, do I think that they're going to solve all the murders that were associated with Gilgo? I don't think so, because I don't think it was done by the same person. But that poor girl, again, Shannon Gilbert's going to be put back on the back burner now, because I feel like they're going to look into this case, what he's attached to, and try to solve that first. And I feel like Shannon Gilbert's case has too many ties. And what I'm about to say, it's not because I'm a cop hater. Aunt, you know that. I have family that's in law enforcement. I have very good friends out in law enforcement. I respect the badge. I respect those boys and girls going out there doing their job every day. Just because there's some bad ones doesn't mean the entire force of, like, around the world is, you know, piece of shit. They're not. So I feel like the Suffolk County Police, for some reason back in the day, covered up that case. And I think that there was some involvement, maybe not that they killed her, but maybe because some friends were around her when she went missing. So that's my two cents on that. That's all.
Listen, I mean, you definitely did the research. As the armchair, the armchair detective's giving you his two cents. He's weighing in. And you're not the only one who feels that way. That's been the rumor. I mean, on Long Island for the last 10 years has been people in that department had something to do with it. But, you know, what's we're going to hopefully, like, my whole thing with this guy, I hope that he just confesses. And I hope he
give these people closure.
Yeah. Like, you know, okay, you're caught. Like, and that's usually like I was reading somewhere that that's part of this for them is the catch. Like, they want to get caught. They want the notoriety. And if that's the case, you got it, man.
Take it.
Give these families the closure they deserve. You know, it's been almost 25 years. You know, the first one goes back, they're thinking almost 25 years. Yeah, and
96.
I hope he did, hope he talks, man. We find out what's going on.
Me too. And you know what? Trophies and stuff. These serial killers, they keep trophies of their victim, but you know what? Their last trophy that they want is the notoriety behind the crimes that they did. And you know what? If he wants to talk, great. Give him that trophy. Let him go to jail forever. I'm sure the way that shit works out for these guys in jail usually is the case. So it's either, you know, the death penalty is not around. So I'm sure someone will one day go on break and you'll find him in the shower somewhere beaten to death, just like Jeffrey Dahmer.
And I just wanted to say this because, you know, Nick was in that meme and it was posted on Long Island Memes. And people kind of like, in no way are we discrediting and discounting and making a mockery of the people that lost their lives and the families grieving for this. That's not what's going on. And that's not what Long Island Memes meant. And, you know, Nick showing up to the scene, that's not what it is. It's that, you know, for anything, we want to find out answers for the family. You know, I think that's, you know,
I'm not like Aaron Hick that just rolled off out of the streets.
Yeah.
People are saying that I looked like I was from Mastic in Florida and stuff. And I get it. Yeah, I'm wearing a Texas Chainsaw hat. I got the shades on. I got this drug lord mustache now. Like, I look, you know, you're judging a book by its cover, and most people do.
Yeah, so, but you've always had your own style, man. You've always been your own own drum.
Yeah, it's fine. Some of the comments were great, you know, and that's
– yeah.
You want to get into that, you know, dealing with, you know, some negative, nasty shit that I've read – I said this last week on a podcast that I was on, that if I was going to get caught up with all the negative shit that people have had to say to me or about me in the last, you know, 30, 40 years of my life, if I was not a strong person, I would have fucking killed myself when I was 5 years old, dude. Because I've been hearing the same shit. Come up with something original or don't fucking say anything.
Yeah, I mean, I deal with it myself as far as, you know, being someone who puts himself into the public eye and, you know, on a stage or, you know, on this podcast. I've gotten negative responses from the podcast. I've gotten negative responses from social media. I get it. And, you know, most of the time I let it roll off my back. But sometimes like
gloves off.
Sometimes somebody gets you in the wrong day or says the wrong thing. You know, when I first changed the name of this podcast, someone came at me like they missed the WWE Bro podcast. They missed me being the WWE Bro. They didn't realize the reason I changed the name. You know, most of it had to do with, you know, one, getting better guests, and you know, because every time I tried to book a guest, I spent half the time explaining that it's not just a podcast about Weight Watchers. So, okay, so let's change the name, fix that. Also, I'm not giving a company a free advertisement that took my ideas, no credit, ran with it, kind of jerked me around a little bit. And listen, I'm not talking about the program. I'm talking about corporate. Telling me I'm going to be an ambassador. I'm what they're looking for. They'll put me in commercials and all this stuff. Like, you know, so at the end of the day, I wanted the podcast to be about what I wanted it to be about and not fit a certain thing. And, so that's really why I changed it. I mean, I went into that a bunch of times, but like, that's some of the negativity that I got. And when I explained that to them, they're like, oh, I didn't know that. I'm like, of course you didn't know that. I'm not going to tell you all that. And I'll say it now, but like, sometimes you have to set them straight.
You know what? Mike, talking about something today, that I'm nervous about something coming up, and it's actually going to be released tomorrow.
It's a hip-hop song
that I'm doing, and we're doing a video. So I'm nervous because I'm going out of my comfort zone. Because usually when I'm playing music, I'm holding a bass and I'm playing metal. I'm not rapping. I'm not doing something different. And I'm just thinking about all the disastrous things that have happened to rockers when they go rap. So I told her this, and she was like, it's my cousin Tara. So a shout out to my cousin Tara.
Tara, I know Tara. She follows me on Instagram. Yeah.
She said something really cool, and it was, you're the one that's taking the risk. They aren't. So you shouldn't get caught up in what they have to say. Dude, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Also, I mean, you're doing it for a bigger reason. Why you first got into this is your late brother-in-law.
Yeah,
that's the reason you got into Little Peep and even exploring with this stuff.
Yeah,
and so I told you that, you know, just it's whatever people say. This is a tribute to him. So no matter what they say is immaterial. It really is.
And I know he's appreciating it because I know he's watching me, man. I know he's with me every day.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was gonna cry for this one, but
yeah. Well, we probably will.
Yeah, you got me. You got me because I didn't even, you know it was gonna go there. But it really is a tribute to him, man. Like, I know I wouldn't have done this had it not been him coming up to me that one day and saying, "Hey, did you hear that Little Peep passed away?" And I had no idea who Little Peep was. And then I went down the rabbit hole. And it's for the better, man, because that dude's music and lyrics, I can't say that from that day since that I have not listened to a Peep song or got inspired by it. It brought me and Keith closer. Mm-hmm. Because we sit there for hours and just talk about like what this dude did in such a little time. So, you know, when he passed, I wanted to write a song for him. And I did it in the style that people would have done. You know, I found a lot of people because that's how I dealt with it. I went into like Little Peep fan groups and stuff. And this one kid from Greece had a beat, and he was looking for people to do something over it. And I listened to it and I told him right off the bat, I'm like, kid, I have something great that I could put to this. Please take this down. I don't want anyone else rapping over it right now because I feel it's really good. And he trusted me and he did that. And thank God for Setbacks from Greece. He gave me the green light. I took it to my friend Greg Gavitt from Center Stage Music. He put, he extended it a little bit. And, you know, last goodbye, not goodbye. It came out so great and I'm so happy about it. And, you know, that was the first solo single that I did release. You know, then I did a Peep cover. And then tomorrow I'm doing it's a video that's coming out with my collaborator, Kay Lovely. It was directed by our friend Carl Brain. And it's going to go on YouTube and all over the place. And we're actually playing our first show. It's in September.
That's awesome.
At the Webster Theater in Hartford, Connecticut, we're opening up for Shaggy Two Pants, Two Dope from ICP. So that's cool. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, when you're taking this and where it's going, started out as a tribute to Keith, and he'd be the first one there, man, and be proud of you. So don't even worry about what's going to happen and everything. You're doing it for the right reasons, and you're a performer, man. You had to do this. I mean, how many? Listen, we've rapped many times in cars and backyards, and you know, it's just now it's in front of people. And
I think I'm gonna pull it off, man. I pull off everything. It's just the nerves, man. But you know what? I feel alive when I feel the nerves, so it's always good. I still get nervous every time I perform.
You really?
Yeah, I do, man. I really do. I right before I go on and I hit that first chord, and it takes me about, I don't know, 30 seconds or 45 seconds of playing. And then I'm like, all right, I'm up here. I'm letting it go. And the rest is just, you know.
Yeah, I'll get nervous. I'll get nerves going up to it. But as soon as I get on stage, I grab the microphone, they're gone. It's my world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's how I feel. I know what you mean. And I do feel that, but the nerves are up there when I do get up there. But I mean, you know, that's why sometimes before I play, I got to take a shot or two, get a little loose. You know, I don't, obviously you've seen me perform most of my whole career, so I don't swing for the fences anymore performing how I did back in the day, getting drunk before, you know, going on stage, because that's to just disastrous results, you know. So I'd rather get a little buzz going on and then going up, you know.
No, you know, you're playing a lot better than you know. That's you weren't good then, but like it's your focus, you can tell you're driving the thing, and
I mean, why would I go up there and make a fucking fool of myself even more if I'm wasted? Or, you know, one of the hardest gigs I ever did was the first gig that I did totally sober coming out when I played the first gig with Demon Scar, because, you know, for a long time I was going up there drunk and then I was high on top of it with, you know, the pills and stuff.
Yeah.
So I played that first gig. That was fucking scary, man. Like, I wasn't, like, ready for that at all. You know, I was really, I felt really, like, naked in a way. You know, there's like, that was like a, what do they call that? A comfort blanket or whatever? Or I don't know. Yeah. It was weird. But I did it. And I just celebrated that, too, man. That was good.
Yeah, 8 years sober, off pills.
May 15th,
which is my nephew Rocco's birthday.
Yep.
So two birthdays that day. And that's actually how I found out what was going on with you, because I was trying to call you to tell you that, you know, Mike and Trude had the baby, and it was a boy, Rocco, which was
born, and NZA 2.0 was born.
Yeah. And it's a good, you know, it's a good day to celebrate both things, you know. And I mean, look, it's come from it. Your music, Rebirth, everything that you've been doing, you know, because I've watched you in bands, and, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm not knocking any bands. I'm not going to say the names of them, but, you know, a certain band you were in, I think, was not good for as far as what was going on with the pills and stuff like that. And it was kind of leading you down a bad path. And, from that was a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, I play, you know, I love each band that I was in, dude. Mm-hmm. Those, some of those memories that I have with those guys.
Yeah, great shows and everything, but I'm not saying that, but
yeah, I mean, you know, just life happens, and it's either you're going to, you know, continue down that path and they can tell stories about you, or you could change your ways and tell your own story, you know? So that's why I'm happy that I'm able to do that. You know, like you said, man, like, there's just so much going on with me right now that it's unbelievable. Like, in the last like year, just all these things that I've ever wanted to do have just one by one following up, you know, one after the other, you know, playing the whiskey, then getting involved with the movie, getting in the movie, getting the song in the movie, being a part of the movie, being a producer of the movie. You know, the movie right now, The Forest Hills, that's really close to getting signed over to I just spoke to Scott today. It's not Tubi. It's another company, but they put out The Illusionist with Edward Norton.
Okay.
That. So that's where I think the home is going to be. There's some other offers on the table that we're going, you know, that they're going through. So then, you know, it was completely reshot and redone. And it's a totally different movie from the movie that you saw, you know, but I think it's a better movie.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing all this guy, you know, watching through, you know, following you and what you tell me and everything. You guys put a lot of work into it, a lot of, you know, a lot of effort, and got a great cast. And Scott knows what he's doing as far as being a director and everything. And you got a good team behind you. And I'm excited to see what the final product, the full final product. It's a process, and you know, it's
with that. I met some great people, man. Like, you know, Scott Hansen, who does digital Thunderdome. That dude's like shot on so many good like projects and stuff, and he's a visionary too. And when you put a lot of visionaries in one project, it's, you know, destined for success.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I feel like it was the reason why I reached out. Like, it was just the perfect, you know, it was the reason to be, you know, it just had to happen.
Yeah. I mean, the movie itself has got, you know, Edward Furlong, Shelley Duvall.
First role in 20 years, you know?
Yeah. And she still got it.
Like, even if the movie doesn't go any further than it is right now, just being associated with those two and D. Wallace from E.T. and, you know, it's something. It's something that I've always wanted to do, and I'm proud of me that I was able to get to that point.
Absolutely. I mean, you made a movie, which is, you know, I mean, how many times we talked about it just growing up and just sitting in cars and driving around or just sitting around bullshitting.
Trying to come up with an idea of something that would be different.
Or I still like daytime vampires. It's going crazy. We definitely
could have been a hit, man.
We should pitch it to Scott now. I mean,
Twilight vampires are walking around in the day. Look how big that shit came.
If this was more, this is more of a, they were more vicious.
Yeah, a little bit more vicious, more like Lost Boys type of thing.
Yeah, the sun makes me psycho. The sun makes me psycho.
That was so good.
We had the trailer like already in our heads.
Yeah, everything. The movie like spoke in like the plot of it and like the script and everything, and we wanted to put different scenes in it, you know. I remember I wanted to have like a transformation scene, like everyone just like turning into the vampires and stuff, and God Bless the Children of the Beast by Motley Crue playing, and it was like slow motion, like trippy shit going on. It would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have been a good movie.
Absolutely.
I think it's still gonna happen. Eventually it'll happen.
I hope, man. I hope, like, you know what? I've always said, just I'm like a fucking vampire, dude. You invite me into a room, you're never getting rid of me. Like, I'm part vampire, part Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
As in to Adrian when he's like giving her the gift, he's like, remember when I met you like 8 years ago? I said you're never gonna get rid of me. But you're never getting rid of me.
True.
Let me into the door and I'll open more shit.
It's true. He came over one day and that was it.
That's it.
Now he's
family event, swimming pools,
Let Her Cry remixes.
Absolutely. I'm just so happy that Mike now has that pool versus the pool that you had that I could have knocked down in any given time.
You jump in, do whatever you want.
Yeah. Because concrete, whatever, man. He ain't bringing down concrete.
Not bringing down concrete. That you always brought that pool down. There's a whoo.
I remember a couple years ago, I was sitting with your pop, and I was just like, Mr. D, thank God I never took that pool down. I'm like, what would have happened? And with the straightest face, he just looked at me. He's like, you would have paid for it.
Well, first, my mother would have put her foot up your ass. That would have been,
and that would have been, that would have been awful.
Well, I'll tell you why. Especially towards, as we got older, me and Mike really didn't go in the pool. My mother loved that pool.
Yeah.
She would come home from work in the summer, take a dip. And she goes, I'm going to got to cool my ass off before I start dinner. Come out of the pool, and she would start dinner. And I would like, relax her, calm her down. That I remember one year it needed like a new lining or so. It was like, it needed like a lot of money. My mother's like, just take the thing down, forget about it. The kids don't go in it anymore. So her birthday is July 7th. So usually they would celebrate like on the 4th of July when they had everybody over. It was the hottest day of that. It was a July 4th. It was like 100 degrees out. Sun was just like, everybody was dripping sweat. We actually, a lot of us were staying inside because the air conditioner was on. And my mother was like, Tony, there better be a goddamn pool in that spot on Monday when I come. There better be a freaking pool there Monday. How do you talk me? How do you let me take that thing down, you know? My father credit, man, that pool, Monday morning, there was a guy putting a pool up. And that was the second pool that you almost took down. So that, yeah, you would have, that would have been a bad scene that pool came down. But that was the second pool, yeah.
Oh man, so it was a new one. I never knew that.
Yeah. that was part two, the pool part two.
Block party for me, man. I hurt myself.
That was a rough block party. It was a rough day. Fun though.
Yeah.
Sven was talking to the telephone pole.
That was a rough one.
Yeah, but we had good times back then, and like you know, now it's fun. Like you mentioned, my brother's pool. It's awesome now that your daughter is hanging out with Mike's kids.
They get along good.
They get along great, especially Liddy and Zoe. It's a lot of fun watching them hang out and play together. And like Jay said, generations. So it's this pool, I think, is safe. I think you'll be okay. I don't think you're gonna take this one down.
No.
But yeah, man, at that block party, I remember that pool, that just the sides going.
I went over the side thinking I was like, I don't know, sliding across a hood of a car.
And you just hit, like, and you hit like sitting up too, like, but you were just sitting there, and behind you the pool was going. Woof, woof. Well, it actually would have, I don't know what it would have done. It would have been a bad thing.
Out both sides of you. Your neighbors and yeah. your grandmother's spot downstairs. It would have
downstairs.
Been a lot of water.
A lot of water. Yeah, but luckily it didn't happen, and we lived to fight another day.
It would have been like the scene in Jackass. Remember when they get like all the water taking them? Like I would have been going down Orange Street floating.
And then like the next year was the trim spa one.
Oh yeah, then yeah.
Which is when you were taking the trim spas and you were sweating. And it was actually a cool, it was like a weird day in July. It was like 68 degrees. We were actually, me and Mike were wearing, I think, pants and long sleeve shirts. And you were like dripping sweat taking the trim spas. You're like, Mike, isn't it warm? He's like, no, Nick, it's actually very cold. And that's why for July, it's 68 degrees.
Thank God those bastards banned that shit, man.
Bad stuff. And you think about like what we've done. You know, these last, just to try to lose weight and try to, you know, I'm going to say cut corners, but, you know, something comes out and it tells you take this pill, you lose weight. And who knows? We're lucky. You know, we're very lucky we took that stuff because we would take it and work out and we, you know.
Yeah.
It was bad news. People were dropping dead from that stuff. From Trim Spa, what was the other one? Stacker 2.
Stacker 2, yep.
Stacker 2s were the other one. I took both of them. I took Xenadrin.
I remember the... I thought about Trim Spa not too long ago. I was watching the Anna Nicole Smith thing on Netflix.
Yeah.
I forgot that she was all wrapped up with that stuff.
Yeah, she was on Trim Spa. And then I think Cabby, that used to be on K-Rock.
That's who got us into it.
We started taking it because we saw him on Stern. We were like, oh my God, look at this guy.
Yeah.
And then we started taking it. Actually, I was buying it from this drugstore. So this is a funny story. I was buying it from this drugstore, this supplement shop. It's not there anymore. And the girl that worked there, like, asked me out. And I was like, okay. And when I told my brother who it was, he was like, oh. And he made me feel really bad. Like, I'm like, oh, I got to go on this date. So, like, after the date, like, she asked if I wanted to come in. I'm like, no, I got to get a bro, like, my grandmother's sausage for the Sunday gravy. That was the excuse I used. I got to get out of there. What am I going to say? And she's like, you have to go buy sausage. I'm like, you understand, my grandma's getting up in the morning, which is true. But I wasn't going to buy it. My father used to get it. But I'm like, I got to get up early and get the sausage for the gravy. And she texted me like the next morning. She's like, did you get the sausage? I'm like, yeah. I said, the house smells awesome. I said, so, you know, I did it for my grandmother.
That was it? One date done?
That was it. One and done.
Yeah.
Mike didn't help too, though. Because Mike was like, you know, making fun of me. You know, because he went to junior high with her. And he was making fun of me about it. He's a deterrent. I'll tell you that right now. So that's why I don't tell him anything.
Well, he's going to make fun of him. No, he's doing the same thing now. Same thing.
Yeah, but he doesn't realize sometimes he says things. And like, I'm like, okay, then.
It sets in.
So I had met this girl on Hinge, and she told me she was, she knew Mike. And I was like, I asked Mike if he knew her, and he was like, how did you meet him? I'm like, oh, she messaged me, like, something to do with Weight Watchers. And he's like, yeah, she's like one of the threes. You know, there's like the tens and the eights, and, you know, it goes down. And he goes, yeah, threes are respectable at a certain point of the night. you know, my brother, how he talks, you know, that he's joking around before everybody goes at him. You know, so he was just joking around with me and stuff like that. But like, now I couldn't tell him that I was going on a date with this person because, you know, he's already got his comments in.
Right.
So. Mike D sometimes doesn't, you know, that's why everything's secret. I don't tell them. They don't know anything about what goes on. Things I talk about here more on the podcast, and I guess they put it together. My father, like, will tell them, and they'll put the pieces together, but they don't know about a lot of things.
Yeah. Better off if they find that on here.
Yeah, I just find the aftermath of me, like, falling apart in life. Right. That's what they say. What are you doing? I ate the Oni. That's what they see. They see me eating the Oni. But, you know, like, we've been talking about it for a while. I guess we'll finish the podcast up with this because it is, I guess, you know, we are trying to get back on track. And
we do have to get back on track. Spoke of this. We're feeling like shit.
I feel like
another round to go.
I feel horrible.
We got to do it. But before we end, dude, I have to make an announcement about something.
Yeah, no, we're not ending yet. But yes, please.
Oh, okay.
Make that announcement. I wanted to get that out in the beginning, but please make the announcement now. Then we'll get into all the, you know, the
plans we have.
Yeah.
The outer plans. Okay. All right. Now, I think this is the best place to do this because you have always been like, I could see you as a mentor for me, giving me like advice on how to do this because you've been doing this for so long. And this is something that I've wanted to do, but I just never had the time to do the post-production part of it. And I just didn't have like the right name and didn't know what I wanted to talk about. But with all that being said, on August 8th, I'm launching my podcast. So it's called, thank you. It's called Primal Scream with Nick Greystone.
Yes.
So I don't want to paint myself into a corner and just talk about true crime. I'm going to talk about the ingredients that make me who I am. It's going to be about music. It's going to be about movies. It's going to be about pop culture. I'm going to throw the true crime in there. And whatever the flavor of the day is. So, who knows? Maybe I'm not cut out for this, but I wanted to always try it. So I'm going to put myself out there. It's going to be on Tuesday nights. I'm narrowing down the time right now, but we're looking at 9 to 10 on August 8th.
So Hirschman and Keegan are moving their podcast?
Hirschman and Keegan are going to go back to their time slot, so we're gonna probably switch. So they're usually 9 to 10. So I'm gonna probably be 7:30 to 8:30. But on this day, I'm going to be 9 to 10.
Okay. So that'll be August 8th. And of course, I'll plug it here and we'll share it. We'll share it. I'm excited for you, man, because, you know, we've talked about this a long time. And I've told you, you got to do something with you know, the horror stuff. And you got so many connections in both music and horror. And now, you know, now I'm part of this film and what's going on with the, you know, not just being a meme, but your knowledge that you have of things. And it's, you know, like, because we always tell people, Nick always took me on the tour of Long Island, like all these spots, and you knew everything, dude. Like, you knew all this stuff, and it's informative and it's interesting and people are going to love it. And, you know, I think you got a good thing there. And of course, you know, we'll do whatever we can to, I say we, like, there's a whole group here. It's just me, but I'll do whatever I can to help you get it off the ground and get going and get the word out.
Often help me even come here, but I feel like I'm going to be doing it at Governor's because I feel like they have the stuff to just put it out there. Mm-hmm. They're going to send me my copy. I can do what I want with it. It'll be live there. I can just go. I'll have my time. I can just talk. And then from there, plug it on social media and just see how it goes, you know, see how people react to it. And I'm excited about it. But, yeah, it's something, like I said, I've wanted to do, and I'm gonna give it a go, see what's up.
That's what you got to do, man. And here's a little surprise. Anytime you want me as a guest on that show, I'm more than willing to come down and be a guest.
Thank you.
And I'm not gonna get into it, but you know what that means. So
yeah, that's excellent. I'd love to have you on it as a guest.
Yeah,
sit in the seat, ask you a couple of questions.
Put me not.
Like, that's the whole thing. I don't know. I think I give a good interview, but I don't know if I'm a good interviewer. So I don't know how I'm gonna be.
You are, though. I mean, because I don't know if you did those years ago. You used to interview people at Monster Mania for the magazine and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Online magazine, and you. Those are, I mean, I'm not a horror fan, but I was into the interviews you were asking, because you just didn't ask like, hey, what was it like having blood coming down your face and running? You asked like, you know, good questions, interesting questions. So you're going to be fine, man. You know how to talk.
There's a little thing that I want to add about that. When I went to Monster Mania in Maryland a couple of years ago, dude, this is a long time. This is when I was doing those interviews. I remember people got so pissed at me because I used to go to those Q&As all the time. And like you said, it was like repetitive questions. And I'd like to ask things that were different. So one of the questions that I asked, it was a Nightmare on Elm Street 3 reunion. And it was about 6 or 7 people up on the stage. So I got up and I was like, this is a question for everyone. Is there a role that you auditioned for that you either turned down or you didn't get, that you wish you did? And dude, one by one, each one of them went down the line and talked and spoke about this. And like Robert Englund, if you know him, when you meet him, he doesn't stop talking. Like, it starts to a point where you meet him and you kind of have to like shy away. And
I'm all right, I'll see you later.
Yeah, it's like, thanks, you know, Rob, like, he loves his fans, but he also loves to talk.
Yeah.
And you know, he was speaking about like how he was up for so many roles against Gary Busey, and Gary Busey started getting all these roles and everything. And so his answer was like 25 minutes. And then it got to this one guy who played Joey in the movie. His name is Rodney Eastman. Rodney Eastman was supposed to be Brandon Walsh in 90210, dude.
Really?
Yes. And then they went with Jason Priestley, but he got callbacks and he was supposed to do it. But then Jason Priestley all of a sudden started wooing everyone when he went in.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, they got that right. I mean, listen, as the resident 90210 expert, no one else could play Brandon Walsh. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not taking anything away from this guy, but they got that casting perfectly. Brandon Walsh.
His life, dude. It was very depressing. He was like, you know, after that, I started, you know, not looking more into playing, you know, doing it anymore because I was so discouraged and everything. And it was kind of sad. Kind of felt bad for the guy, you know, because, dude, that was like a big deal when that show came out.
It is, but like, and I always think about this and talk about just in life in general. So I told this story before on the podcast. I'll tell it again because it's kind of relative. But my first audition for anything meaningful was about a year or so into comedy. It was the Montreal auditions. And I was nervous. I was the first one there. And the late Carl Above, rest in peace, awesome guy. He was the Sam Kinison's opener for many years, part of the Bad Boys of Comedy with Bill Hicks and Mitchell Waters. Carl was just in the back eating dinner. He had, like, you know, a plate. He was eating his food off the side. And I'm sitting there and he goes, "Ant, you nervous?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm actually pretty nervous. This is my first audition." He goes, "Well, don't be. You're not going to get it." And I kind of like looked at him and he goes, "I'm not saying that to be a dick or anything, Ant. I'm telling you, as somebody who's been in the business for over 30 years, you're going to audition for so much stuff. You're going to throw so much stuff against the wall. And most of the time, you're not going to get it." He goes, "But you'll get that one thing that will be. That will change it. That'll change the whole game." And, you know, it calmed me down. And, you know, here's a guy who's been through everything. And he goes, "I've been up for so many things. And, you know, you never know what's going to hit." And he goes, "These are just things we do." So, you know, and I've had things that have fallen apart and not made it to anything. And it kind of helps getting through it. And that's just like what we're doing now, man. We're just throwing things against the wall. Hopefully something's going to stick. You know, music, podcast, comedy. Anything. We're just trying to, you know, make our mark. And I think the more we do, you know, the more creative you are, the better it is for your own well-being. You know, famous, not famous, doesn't matter. You're contributing, you're putting things out into the world, and that's what's important.
And you're happy, man.
Yeah. Well, you
know,
yeah.
You know what, man? Like, the whole, I wouldn't want it any other way, because you never know, man. If I was out of the box making it as a musician when I was 19 years old, I could have died when I was 21, just like Little Peep, dude. No, me at 21 versus me at 45 years old right now, totally two different dudes. I may still come across as the same Nick Greystone that everyone knows, but you know what? I am way different than I was back then. Maybe, you know, a little bit more grown up, making different choices.
Well, I mean, listen, we all mature a little bit. You're a father now. You know, you're looking after your daughter. And that's probably, I think, the biggest change for you is just that, you know, your daughter comes first. And, you know, and people are like, "Oh, well, that's how it should be." Well, it's not everybody's like that. And you have people noticing. My friends notice, like, you know, people all the time tell me it's awesome, all the things you're doing with your daughter. And people don't have kids like, I always imagine if I had kids, I'd be doing those things with them, like taking them places and showing them things that I like. And so, you think about it, you got a little bit of everything, you know, that you know, and you look, got your toes dipped in a little bit of everything. And, you know, if you were, let's just say you were famous and you're all over the world, that's time taken away from you, with your kid, man. So maybe it's for the, you know, who knows, maybe it's for the best. And
absolutely. It absolutely is. Even when I go on these small little things where she's not around, I miss the shit out of her, dude. You know, and I do like being here with her and, you know, missing that play when I was at the Milwaukee Metal Fest really fucked me up. But being that she is so mature for her age and the things that she said something to me that was so cool. Like, you know, I was like, "Baby, I really wish I could be there. But, you know, Daddy's got a big show right now, and you got your show." And then I'm like, "You know, I just don't want to hurt you." And she was like, "I understand, Daddy. You know, you're going to do great, and I'm going to do great." So, like, she gets it, man. And I tell her all the time, like, "Yeah, I'm going out there. I'm doing it. But I want her to have the best life possible, and I want to set her up where she'll never have to worry about anything, you know." And, like, she has these great memories with me. And yeah. I have her, dude. Like, I love to see her reaction when I bring it to these things, you know, and I'm so proud of, like, just the heart that she has, dude, and the character, you know, like, she's my, like, you know, when they always say in Weight Watchers, your reason why and everything, that's just not a Weight Watchers thing, dude. That's a life thing.
And a life thing.
She is my reason why with everything, you know.
She's a great kid. Absolutely a great kid.
He's the best thing that I ever did. You know, it's not in music, it's not movies, it's not, you know, doing the podcast now and all that stuff. You know, she's it. She's definitely it.
That's awesome, man. Like you said, like it all comes through, you know, everything you're doing and stuff. And listen, you didn't get to be there for opening night, but you were there at the dress rehearsal, you know, get your own private show, which is like, you know. Yeah,
that was cool, man. She was like, hey, your own VIP thing, which, you know, how the NZA rolls.
Yeah.
And it was cool. And Eric Theater, dude, shout out to them. They hooked me up. They saved the day, you know, and I remember coming out and all the parents were like, how was it? You know, you got the sneak peek. I'm like, it was great. And they killed it, you know. She's doing it again. She's gonna do it in September. They're gonna do Seussical, you know. She's gonna start up, and she's in camp now. She's having the best time.
I don't know what Seussical is.
I guess it's like a Dr. Seuss kind of
thing. Like Dr. Seuss. Okay, like a musical Seussical. I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That should be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait, man.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, my nephews are doing all the sports stuff, and even Liddy's getting into sports now too, which is great. And I try to watch as much as I can. It's tougher these days, but I get to the important stuff.
Yep.
You know, they're you know, in a way my why. You know, they're not my kids. I don't have kids, but I'm very
got to it, dude.
What?
And they're the closest thing you got to it.
And the closest thing, Liddy said to me the day, she goes, I'm your kid. I'm like, no, you're my niece. She goes, I'm your kid. I go, no, you're my bro, your daddy's kid, my brother. She goes, his too, but I'm your kid. I go, okay.
Get out of here, dude. I see it.
Yeah, I mean, the older kids, it's going to go away a little bit.
Well, and even though your brother gives you a hard time, there's a reason why the Uncle Cheese is written on that, on his deli. That dude loves you. He gives you the hard
Love. No, I know. I know. We're not very good at expression emotions. Expressing emotions to each other. Me and my brother. But I know. You know. I'm very lucky. My family's awesome.
They are.
Got a great support system. My
family, dude, you know what? Like I loved hanging out at your house back in the day.
Yeah.
I felt that love, dude. Even though, you know, it was all, you know, ripping apart each other and doing the thing. But that was just
that's what we do. I
expressed it.
You know, yeah, it was, that's why, like, when we sold that house, I wrote that thing because, you know, it really was more than just a house. It was, and your house was too, man. I love going to your house, and your parents were awesome. And I remember the first time I really hung out with them was at that block party. And, you know, yeah, and I didn't know them, like, I just didn't talk to them on the phone because then it was a cell phone. So I used to call to talk to you. And that's really how I really talked to your mom and dad. And they were so welcoming and inviting. Like, you know, it's kind of how my parents are. You come to the house, you sit down, eat, you know. And your father had the best line ever. I mean, that's still, I talk about this all the time whenever, like, you know, dad comes up. It was, we were drinking Black House that day. I don't know why we picked Black House. Like, what were we thinking? And your mom had gotten those barrel drinks. And I used to like those as a kid because they're like sweet and they were just sugary and they were delicious. And we were putting the Black House in the barrel drink and it was like the best drink ever. And your father knew, your parents just know. He was giving you that look from the side of your eye. And you're like, don't worry, dad, I'm being a kiddie kid. And he's like, you better stay a kiddie kid. You know what I mean?
There was nothing getting past old Papa John.
No, like my father said the same thing too. He goes, I know what he was doing. Like, you know, he goes, I did it. You know, and my brother's, you know, my brother's kids are going to do the same thing. It just goes on and on, you know, it's just, but like my father's thing was always, you know, he would have it at the house and he would watch, you know, he wanted to, you know, make sure he could monitor everybody. Nobody left that house in a car. Everybody left the next day, you know, he'd make breakfast and everything. So, you know, it was definitely the house was the hub and a lot of good memories. And,
he used to beg me to stay home. Just do whatever the hell you want. We don't care.
Yeah.
My brother, too. You know, like, just how it was. They probably felt safer. Now, being a parent, I get it, dude.
Well, that's what my father was, too. He's like, just go in the backyard. You know, I can monitor it. You know, it's like, you know. And it's true, though. We spent a lot of nights in that basement watching wrestling and just hanging out and having a good time. And those are actually some of my best memories of growing up and hanging out you know, DeVito's house and, you know, Ross's old place and that stuff. Like, you know, it's not at like these clubs or there's the concerts too, but like, I'm just sort of like, you know, the best nights were really just chilling and at someone's house and having a good time. And, That's where all, like, you know, the best stories come from, I feel, anyway.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, Ross had just texted me. It went off on my cell phone, and he goes, fuck, Tom Sizemore died. Dude, like 3 months ago.
Mad. Where's he been? So here's, you know, we're going to keep going. We're going to go long tonight because this actually is funny. So I was ride sharing on Saturday night, and I picked up these kids at the Bayshore Marina, like coming back from Fire Island. And they were like, hey, man, you know, this Uber costs us a lot of money. Like, it's all the money we have left. Like, I hope you get like a good amount of that. Cause they were honest with me. They're like, we really can't tip. And I'm like, nah, dudes, don't worry about it. Like, you know, I said, you know what? I said, when I get to the house, I'll shut the rides off and I'll let you know how much it, you know, I get paid if you're curious and stuff like that. So as we're going, they're like, yeah, my friend, he's so whipped. Does everything his girlfriend tells him to do. You know, he was supposed to help us cover the drinks. He didn't pay for his drinks. He's got a place there and like, he just ditched us. And I'm like, all right. He goes, you know, he's so whipped. He goes, you know, can you imagine that? I go, oh yeah, I can actually. I said, you know, that's my boy Jason. And I told him the whole story, all the stories. We were just driving back from Bayshore to Sayville. I was just telling stories about the old days and they were loving it. They were like, you know, like laughing. I was like, yeah, and I was telling like, you know, different stories about this and that. And I said, you know, we're in our 40s now. And it's still this, we still break his chops about the same thing. I go, some guys are like that. And then I told him about the DeVito brothers being C blocks. I said, they're the C block brothers. And you actually told a story the other day about that. Like, you know,
sure.
Up to the front. The girl you're talking to can't come to the front, but you can. Yeah. Why? Why would I leave this situation? You know, So I told him that story and they were dying. They had a good time. And, I've actually made a good amount of money off that ride and they were happy. And it was one of those rides where it was like, it was just fun. You know, I was telling our stories when we were their age.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And like, you know, we weren't guys that went to Fire Island and stuff like that. We were, you know, but they were just, and they were, you know, it's just, they were into the stories. They were laughing their asses off about some of the stuff. And it just reminded me about like all the good times that we had. And still do. I mean, we get together. It's still the same stuff. And
totally. It's just push play again.
Yeah. And it's, so it's funny telling the stories over and over again. And you know, we had good times and everything. It's you know, I think about that. There's that thing from The Office. I don't know if you've ever seen it, where Andy goes, I wish there was a way of knowing that you're in the good old days while they're happening or something like that. Did you ever see that?
No.
Yeah, he goes, I wish there was a way of knowing you were in the good old days while they were happening or something like that, which is true because you know, you think about it. And that's another reason, you know, I got to get my act together because, like, you know, it's like you don't realize that, you know, good things are happening now. And there's always good old days. There's always, you know, the days that you're living now are the good old days 5 years from now. And I don't want to look back with regret. And, you know, like you were saying, you went this weekend to Asbury Park and you're like, I don't want to hear that you're not coming. I probably wouldn't have went anyway, especially you know, but I don't want the reason that I'm not coming is because I'm worried about walking around and being on my feet and all that. I want it to be the reason that I don't want to be around people and people touching me.
Right.
Not yeah, for the reason.
I get that, dude. I know. I see it, man. You know, like I put the offer out there. I knew you were going to say no, but I just wanted to make sure that, you know, you were thought of. And I knew that it would have probably been a fucking pisser if you would have came. But I get it, man. You know, it sucks. It sucks when you don't feel good and you don't want to get out there because you don't feel good or you don't feel comfortable enough to be there. And
shit.
Yeah, man, I'm always looking now, too. Like, you know, like I'm not in the best shape of my life. You know, I hurt. I'm always looking for a place to, like, you know, set myself up and chill, you know, and then I'll get up and I'll do my thing. But, you know, not a young buck anymore, and I'm definitely not in the best shape. So,
yeah,
all I can try to do is be in better shape. And, but like we know, you can't outwork a bad diet. And then the drinks on top of it, you know, it adds up. So I have to do lifestyle changes as well as, you know, it's the whole thing. So,
It's crazy. Like, you know, where I am now is about 100 pounds down from my heaviest. And it's different on the way up than on the way down. You know, my body's reacting to it. You know, it's worse because the weight's going back on and I'm less active and everything's just like, you know, not good. And I hate it.
Who's the motivation to do it?
Sometimes I feel like I got nothing left because I did it for so long and I put everything I had into it and I still messed it up. And that's where I feel like angry, ashamed, mad, pissed at myself, all the things.
I think the difference though now is though, bro, you have it in the forefront where you would tuck all that shit back and you don't talk about it. You are talking about it and you are aware about it. And you know that you can change it. So, you know, hey, dude, we've been in this place before. We've had this conversation fucking many times, bro. We just got to do what we got to do, man, and buckle down and do it again.
Yeah. I mean, many times it takes, you know, as many life. Takes it takes.
We're doing life here.
Yeah. 60 takes. I didn't tell the difference between either one of them.
Alexis, well, dude, why is Alexa talking to me? I didn't say Alexa.
That's weird.
I know, man. She just gave me like a life anecdote. Oh boy.
Speaking to you there.
Yeah, I gotta dude. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna reach out.
What?
You told me to reach out to somebody to get my palms red. I want to do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I gave you my friend's name, the fella that I, you know what? I'll give her a plug on the air here because, you know what? Let me just get the right name because I don't want to mess things up, Nick. I don't want to say something that's not right.
I get it.
Okay, so go on Instagram and follow Readings by Lulu B.
There you go.
Readings by Lulu B. Say that Anthony sent you. You know, my friend Lucia is a psychic medium, and it's kind of like she's coming to grips with this gift that she had her whole life that kind of made her feel weird. And, you know, listen, I believe in it. You believe in it. I've seen things that, you know, maybe I shouldn't have seen being with people that have the same gift. You know what I'm talking about.
I've seen it too.
I've seen it. I see it.
I love that the name is Lucia, dude. You know, that's a sign that I have to go now because
awesome. And so Readings by Lulu B, check it out. I had a reading and so I've known Lucia for a while, and it was different. It wasn't like a reading wish, but it was a card reading, and it was funny. I was sobbing like a baby during this reading. I felt, you know, I felt embarrassed because I've known this person for a while, like, you know, and it's always like, you know, yeah, the front you put up with people, like, you know, and then, like, you know, you let it out. But it was, I felt awesome when I left because I got some insight on things and helped let some things go. Yeah, he let some things go. So Nick's going to check out Readings by Lulu B.
100%.
Little plug. And also check out Primal Scream with Nick Greystone. It's going to be on govsradio.com. August 8th is the big day. As NoFX said, August 8th is a beautiful day, and it will be for Nick Greystone and his new podcast.
It's coming out. I made an Instagram. I'm going to post it tonight. I have the logo. Was actually done by my buddy Rick Daly, who one of my good friends, Mike Franzese, knows for a long time. He's the one that he's close with. So he made a character to me, and I'm like, you know what, this is perfect. Put the logo up there. So
I know Mike Franzese.
Yeah.
You know. It produced.
Oh yeah.
Well, somebody, my. I'm not related to those Mike Francis. It's a lot of remember when's tonight.
All right. So the podcast is produced, executive produced by Demon Scar. The intro music's by Demon Scar. I'm talking to somebody right now that's going to actually sponsor me, which is also somebody that is a staple on the island for live music. So it'll be great to have him involved with it. So, yeah, I'm going to start taking guests and stuff, but going to kick off the show, just me, and see what I got. So, yeah, that's August 8th. And, Ann, if you don't mind, I do have a couple of more things and dates coming up.
Yes, please. This is what we're doing this. Come on.
Tomorrow, 7:25, Last Ride, the video, Kay Lovely, NZA, directed by Carl Brain. That's tomorrow. 7:27, my man Meds on guitar in Demon Scar. It's his first solo single that's coming out. It's the name of it is Unhealed, and the name of the song is Enemy of Peace. So that's 7:27. My man Bash Gordon on drums, Jared, he is playing with his band Alt X on August 5th at Rudy's in Patchogue. So check him out, because he is more than just the drums and a good-looking chap. He can sing, too. August 8th, Primal Scream Podcast with your host, Nick Greystone. August 25th, it's the third annual Titan Scar collaboration. We're doing another Motorhead cover. That's coming out. September 1st, Demon Scar's new single, The Coldest Hell, is coming out. And it's inspired by a recent trip to Milwaukee that the subject matter is about. So if you listen and you listen to the song thoroughly, you'll see what I'm talking about. And that goes into my whole true crime obsession. 9:15, September 15th. NZA and Kay Lovely are playing their first gig together, opening up for Shaggy 2 Dope, who is in ICP at the Webster Theater in Hartford, Connecticut. October 7th, Demon Scar returns to Jason's Woods in Lancaster with Sharp Violet and Steven the Not Steves. And I broke the news last week. For those of you who didn't see it, I'm going to also say it again tonight. Demon Scar just got asked to go back to the Milwaukee Metal Fest next year. We're going to do that again. And we're also playing another Metal Fest, and it's the March Metal Meltdown. The dates haven't been locked down yet, but we're going to be doing that, and that's going to be sometime in the spring of next year. And shit, that's a lot of plugging.
That's awesome. No, but that's awesome, though. And you can always get this information. Follow Nick on Instagram at NZA6, and follow Demon Scar, Demon Scar Band on Instagram as well, demonscar.bandcamp.com. And Nick, thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, man. Always a great trip down memory lane, as always, bro.
Always a blast, and I'm sure we'll get to talk soon. I guess that's what we do every day.
Yep, we got to get on with it, brother.
You got to get on with it. Absolutely. And with that being said, I want to thank everybody who joined us tonight on Instagram and everybody at home on your podcast listening devices. This has been episode 287 of the Keep Moving Forward podcast with me, Anthony DiDomenico. As always, coming to you live on Facebook, also available on iTunes. And while you're there, 5-star rate and review. I love reading reviews. I love sharing them on social media and bragging about the best podcast listeners out there. That is you guys. Check it out. Also, while you're, if you like the video aspect of it, check it out on Spotify. You could 5-star rate and review there as well. We are played in and out each week by a song written by our guest tonight, Nick Greystone, when he was in the band Hollow. Called Something to Believe. You can get it on iTunes and check out his new band, Demon Scar. As you can see, they got a jam-packed year coming up, and you can check their music out at demonscar.bandcamp.com. Only one place to go for your deli needs. That's Finn's Deli, 4646 Merrick Road in Massapequa. Tell my brother Mike you heard the plug on the show, and then get yourself an Uncle Cheese, the best sandwich out there. Not because it's named after me, because it really is that good. Check it out, finsdeli.com. Once again, I want to thank everybody who joined us tonight and everybody listening at home on your podcast listening devices. This has been episode 287. Have a great week. I'll talk to you later.